but we're going to talk about temptation, particularly temptation of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4 and really verses 1 through 14. We're just going through the book of Luke on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock here. Just going through the book of Luke, and he's as much a theologian as he is historian. Very detailed, lots of good stuff, and largely he takes things in chronological order as they have happened in the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. And so Luke chapter 4, Jesus has been, he'd been introduced by John the Baptist and John's baptism and out in the water and in the Jordan River, and now he's led by the Holy Spirit of God into the wilderness. And I don't understand all of those things. I know there's some parallels to make with Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel as they were tempted 40 years in the wilderness, or they're in the wilderness 40 years. Jesus Christ is 40 days in the wilderness. There might be some parallels there. But the Lord Jesus Christ is led out into the wilderness. He's there 40 days. He doesn't eat anything. And the devil shows up, and there's something really specific, and the way it's said, the way the world works, it's really right on point the way John says it. But he limits and explains that every decision and structure in the world, every decision and motivation in this world system is based on three things. It can be reduced to three things. It can be reduced to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so, while it may look very complicated what goes on in the world, the system itself and the way people make worldly, carnal decisions, they make it on the basis of one of those three things: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. This is the foundation and the framework from which every worldly decision can be traced. And John just, he identified the blueprints from which Satan operates. This is how Satan operates. From this understanding and these are the motivations and the movements. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. If you want to, 1 John 2:15 through 17 is where that shows up. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I say those three things because that's the framework of the world. That's the framework in which the devil operates. This is his blueprints. This is the perspective. And so in any of these points, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, the tempter attempts to drag you out from your own, with your own lust, using your own lust largely like a fisherman would use bait on a fish. I'm going to draw you out with something that's already in you. You already have this in you, and I'm going to put something in front of you that draws that lust out. And now, that all said, Jesus Christ goes into the wilderness, and his temptation is reduced to three things: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. But the difference with Jesus Christ is when he faces temptation, he doesn't yield to temptation. He successfully wards off, fights off temptation, even in a weak state. And so this is what we're reading about. And this is where we are. Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read a few verses here. Verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. I notice it said 40 days tempted of the devil. So he's tempted in more than just three times, but these are the three areas of temptation. 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it, I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. That's important. The power of the, not the power of the flesh, the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. This is the temptation. It's summarized here. Three things: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And that phrase at the end, when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, that's the only way to navigate and to successfully fight off this temptation, these temptations. First thing I want you to notice, the first temptation is Jesus is hungry. He's hungry, and the Holy Spirit's led him out there. I don't understand exactly. I know he's fasting. I don't know if it's on purpose. I don't know exactly what the fast is for, or if it just happens to be he's in a place where there's no food. I don't know. I know he's led by the Holy Spirit of God to basically a barren place, and he's hungry, and obviously there's no food around him, and so Jesus is going wherever the Father wants him to go. Just this is where he's led, and he's eating whatever the Father provides for him. That's what he's eating, and in this case, there's no provision for food, so he's hungry, obviously. And after he's been hungry for a while, I mean, it's in temptation, there are times of the day, times of the night, there are times in sickness, and in times of health, there are certain times where you are more vulnerable to temptation. I mean, the devil knows that, the sin, that your body knows that, all that kind of stuff. But there are certain times where you are more vulnerable to temptation. And in this case, the temptation to eat when you are hungry. That's right in line with what's happening here. So the temptation is to take care of physical needs in exchange for accepting the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So Here's the exchange the devil makes. You can either continue to follow the Spirit of God in this hand, or just satisfy your flesh, eat something. I mean, it's not wrong to eat anything. I mean, surely it's not wrong to eat. You should be able to eat. And so you have this choice. And this is the way compromise with temptation works. And we've seen it in Exodus. When you're presented with an option, it's in life, it's okay to compromise, and you're going to compromise. Okay? But it's not okay to compromise things that God has said, don't compromise this thing. You can give and take a little bit, and you have to in life. You have to give and take a little bit. But the unique thing about the world and the devil and the way that these things operate is they want you to negotiate with things that are not negotiable. They want you to take things off the table that God said, no, you need to keep that on the table. That doesn't need to go anywhere. You can use these things, negotiate with these things, but don't use this. And the devil says, well, why don't you use that over there? Why don't you give up that? And so in context here, it's either you can either be led by the Spirit of God or you can eat bread. And so that doesn't sound like a big deal. Maybe it doesn't sound like a big deal, but this is the lust of the flesh. Jesus is starving. He's weak. I'm sure his eyes are dim and sunk in. And when he speaks to the devil, his flesh is just beat down. And I can hear him speaking to the devil, and maybe he's not with a strong voice. It may be a weaker voice. It may just be a whisper, but it's with spiritual strength. I'm so physically weak. And the devil says, well, why don't you just turn the stone to bread? Why don't you just turn the stone to bread? And the Lord says, look, man shall not live by bread alone. And maybe he whispers it, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Why? Because he's weak. But he's spiritually, he's strong. The flesh is weak, and Paul would say that, man, when I am weak, then I'm strong. And so Jesus maybe whispers this, but he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So that's what the devil is tempting to take off the table. Stop living by the words of God and just live by your appetite. Stop following the Spirit of God and just do what you feel like doing. I mean, you're hungry. And there's nothing wrong with eating when you're hungry. Unless the Lord's trying to take you through something. So it doesn't even sound like that big of a temptation. And that's how it starts. It's just, I'm going to use something. The devil, not me personally, the devil is going to use something that's in you. Hunger. And then he's going to draw it out, or some other appetite of the flesh, whatever it is. But he's going to use something that's already in you and say, all right, why don't you just give up this thing that God said you need? It doesn't include that part of it. But why don't you just give this up and feed yourself? Why don't you just give this up and take what you want? Why don't you just give this thing up and get what you're after? Lust of the flesh. The devil doesn't create the lust of the flesh. He's just going to use it. And he's going to use it against you to negotiate something that God said, don't take that off the table. That's not something you need to give up. So the devil says, why don't you just turn this stone into bread? You notice Jesus Christ's spiritual power over the flesh. What is this? This is the lust of the flesh. This is the first area of temptation. The lust of the flesh. And Jesus Christ is starving. And I can just hear all of the voices. You got to consider your health. Jesus, come on. I mean, you got to consider your health. You need to eat something. You need to eat something. Sure, I mean, surely. And I that sounds like a mother, but also sounds like maybe the devil in that case. You need to eat something. Man, I mean, you're going to break down your body. You're going to destroy your body. This is the body that God wants to use. What are you doing? Make some bread. Eat the bread. And I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, in spiritual discernment and power, sees right through the whole thing and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just right to the point. Right to the point. And these temptations are mentioned just so you know. You're going to find a lot of commonality in these things. I mean, this is where you're going to find your temptations. Spiritual power over the flesh, the lust of the flesh. What's the answer? The answer's in Scripture. And remember that. The answer's in Scripture, although the devil will use Scripture, but the answer's there. What do you want me to give up, devil? Well, just give up the Word of God and just eat some bread. I mean, you need it. You're dying. You need it. You're starving. No. I'm not giving up the Word of God to eat. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Second temptation. Lust of the eyes. The Bible says the devil takes him up to this high mountain and shows him a commercial. and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And being the God of the world, I mean, the devil is the God of this world. Being the God of this world, he shows him all the kingdoms. And he shows him I would say, you know, the commercials, but now it's, I guess, TikTok ads or you know. But he shows them the party and people, and they're all drinking beer and they're all having a good time. It's like, what? I mean, you can have this fun. You can enjoy this life. Look at all this stuff. And he shows them the great architecture of these buildings. And he shows them people that are enjoying life, or they look like they're enjoying life. He shows them all this entertainment. It's the way it's framed. It's like, you know, a commercial is paid for and edited to be shown what the producer wants to show you about this thing. You don't see everything about it. You just see what you're going to be shown about it. And so when the devil shows Jesus Christ the kingdoms and shows him all the glory of the kingdom, that word is in there, he shows him the glory of the kingdoms. He doesn't show him the people in the hospitals. He doesn't show him the people that are starving. He shows him the glory of the kingdoms. He shows him the people at their parties. He shows them all laughing and having a good time. He shows them all just hooping it up, and I mean they seem like it's such a great life. But he doesn't show them at home by themselves, sad or isolated. I'm just going to frame the world the way I want you to see the world, and so the devil frames it the way he wants it framed, and he says, look, I will give you all of this. I'll just give it to you. Here's the negotiation. If you will just worship me. Just look. Here's the cars. You can have these cars. But all I need is your Sundays. That's all I need. I just need your Sundays. You can have the cars. I'll give them to you. But I just need your Sunday. Meaning, you're going to have to work for this. It's going to cost you something. Hey, you can have the house. You can have the house. I will give you the house. But I just need your prayer time. I just need your prayer time. You can have the $1 million in the bank, or I mean, that's not nothing now. Now you can have the $1 million in the bank. But I just need your childhood. It's all I need. And so the devil says, look, I'll give you all this if you'll just worship me. You just come to me and you give me your time and you give me your energy and I'll give you all this. That's the negotiation. That's the negotiation. I give you all these things. He shows him the entertainment. He shows him the stadiums. He shows him the cars, the trucks, the guns, the ranches, the cattle. He says, look, I'll give you all this. But I just need your time. I just need your Sundays. I just need your money. I just need 30 years of your life. I just need your Wednesday. I just need your yourself. But you'll have all these things. Shows him the boats. Shows him the cowboy hats. Cowboy boots, the horses, the saddles, the handbags, the furniture. And by the time you've said yes to all these things, you look at your life and you say, where did God go? And the devil said, well, I got it. I got your time. I got your money. I got your energy. I got your kids. Thank you. You mean you're not satisfied with what you have now? That's the negotiation. Hey, I'll give you all this stuff. But the Lord, He doesn't bite. He doesn't capitulate on it. He says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. I'm not going to serve stuff. I'm not going to serve money. Paul would say it this way. He'd say, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And they don't even understand that they do that. They don't understand they've given their lives to devils. They've given their lives to things that aren't going to return the benefit. But you've made these negotiations with the lust of your eyes. I saw it and I wanted it. I saw the car and I wanted it. I saw the furniture and I wanted it. I saw the house and I wanted it. I saw the ranch and I wanted it. I saw the cattle and I wanted it. I saw the what does he say in Joshua? I saw the garments and I wanted it. I saw the gold and I wanted it. And so I went after it. And I found out that in getting what I want, or what I thought I want, I had to give up a lot of things along the way. And then when I look back, I'm wondering, where did all the value go in my life? Where did all the important things go? Well, I gave them up. Not Jesus Christ. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Jesus would say this too. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You've negotiated for the world, and if you've lost who you are, and not that it's not just your identity, you've lost your soul, you've lost your future, you've lost there's no relationship with God. Now you're under the judgment of God. Look, not trying to be too discouraging in this, but this is the reality. You think devil worship is horns and blood sacrifice and stuff like that. You know what devil worship looks like? It looks like sacrificing your life to money. It looks like giving up all of your time so you can make an extra buck. It looks like shoving Jesus Christ aside so that my kids can do whatever it is you want the kids to do. And then you find out, oh, well, Jesus Christ, where my kid isn't as spiritual. I mean, they don't love the Lord like I wanted them. I thought they were going to grow up and love the Lord. Well, you shove the Lord outside of their life to make room for devils. And when the devils filled the spot, They didn't satisfy like you thought they were going to satisfy. They didn't provide the things you thought they were going to provide. But you negotiated all this valuable stuff away. Jesus says, no, no. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus Christ, that's spiritual power. That's what spiritual power looks like over the temptation and the lust of the eyes. You see these things and I want these things. And by the time the devil is done with all of your wants, he's got your Sundays, he's got your Wednesdays, he's got your paycheck, he's got your children's minds, he's got your marriage, he's got your health, he's got your testimony, he's got the whole thing. What does it matter to argue about? Can someone be double possessed? What does it matter if he owns everything you have? What does it matter? Jesus Christ says, no. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. These are the temptations people face. And Jesus Christ faced them head on, and boy, in a weak state, in a weak, malnourished, hungry, just unhealthy state, but spiritually very strong, he faces the devil with these very, very tempting temptations. And then this last one, you got the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So the devil's smart. He says, all right, you want to serve God? You just told me that man should live by every word of God. Here's a word for you. Jump off the temple. There's a word for you in Psalms. He'll give his angels charge over you. He's not going to let you hurt yourself. You told me that you live by the words of God. Well, here's the word of God. Cast yourself off the temple and he'll give his angels charge over it, and he's not going to let you even hurt yourself. How about that word? There's a word. You want to live by Scripture? Here's Scripture. Oh, he's smooth, man. He's smooth. Here's the Scripture. It's like this. You got to be careful of reading Scripture and taking things out of their context. This is where people get messed up. They'll take promises out of context. Here's a good one. I think I've seen it at Hobby Lobby. What is that, Jeremiah 29:11 thing? I know the plans I have for you to prosper you. Something like that. Is he talking to you because you hung up the sign? That you just took a verse out of nowhere. You have no idea where it applies. Just like the devil, hey, here's a promise, Jesus. He's going to protect you. So why don't you throw yourself off this temple and see how God protects you? Hey, you're God's son, aren't you? Aren't you supposed to be the big shot? And here's us. We read a promise. Oh, that's me. That's me. Oh, he's talking to me. The promise is me. That can be the voice of the devil. Just take a verse out of context. Just apply it to whatever you want to apply it to. That happens so often. So often. So the devil says, hey, since you trust the Bible, since you trust the Word of God, why don't you trust this Scripture? Why don't you believe this one? You told me that man's not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Your Scripture says that if you're God's son, he won't let you get hurt. So, have at it. Why don't you try it? I mean, I don't see God's son here until he jumps off this temple. I don't see God's son. Why don't you jump off the temple and prove the verse and prove you live by this? Boy, the devil's slick. You know what he's appealing to? This is what he's appealing to. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and now pride of life. You're somebody. You're somebody. And this verse applies to you because you're somebody. You're somebody. The more I read this, I gotta tell you, Joe and I were talking about this the other day, and he made a really good point about this. When Peter pulls Jesus Christ aside before the crucifixion and says, no, Lord, you're not going there. The devil is not trying to get Jesus Christ out of the crucifixion, because he's the one that's going to lead the betrayal of in the crucifixion. What he's done is the pride in Peter has welled up. And he can't possibly think that the Messiah would subject himself to a cross. And in his emotional panic, he says, wait, no, Lord. You're not going to a cross. You're a king. And then Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You know what you want? Power. And you don't like the idea of weakness. But God's going to use weakness. But you don't like that. What is that attraction to power? That's satanic. I gotta have that power. I'm opposed to weakness in any form in the flesh. No weakness. Peter pulls Jesus aside. No, Lord, you're not going to the cross. Wait a minute. You can't do that. And the Lord Jesus Christ, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't love the things of God. You love the things of men. You're afraid that I might become weak at some point, even die. And that scares you. Why? Because you're attracted to power. And that's pride. That's pride. So now Jesus Christ is tempted with this pride of life. You're somebody. The devil uses this verse out of context in order to claim some promise that's not even there. It's not what he's talking about. How many times? This is something. So I got to do more research on this, but it sounds like it would be worth looking into. It was done by the Center for Biblical. I'm not going to get the name right. Anyhow, they said people that read their Bible once a week, generally there's no change in life. There's nothing that changes. There's not really anything that happens with their life. Twice a week, nothing really changes. All the loneliness, the sin, the temptation, all that stuff, it's all the same. And there's not really any progress with any of those things. Three times a week, not really any progress. For some reason, if someone's willing to sit down four times a week and open their Bible and really read the Bible, not just a verse of the day, but read the Bible, that changes their feelings about loneliness. It changes their feelings about hope. It changes sin addictions. There's this list, and they just this group did this, it's a study. I mean, they literally just studied people. So it's just evidence. And the point is the Word of God, it ministers, it nourishes, it helps. but not if you're just going to use it the way you want to use it. If you're just going to use it the way you want to use it, you are falling further into a ditch. This is the way the devil uses it. Here's a verse. Here's a promise. Claim the promise. Just claim the promise. It's for you. Claim the promise. Aren't you somebody? You're somebody. You're saved. You're a child of God. You're somebody. Claim the promise. That's the devil. What does Jesus say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, Satan's first step outside of God's will was pride. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fell like lightning. It's not because he's connected with electricity. It's because the fall was incredibly fast. The pride swelled up in him. He took a look at himself and he said, I'm somebody. I'm somebody. How dare God relegate me to whatever position I'm somebody. And I mean, the fall just immediate. Fall. Iniquity enters into his heart. Pride of life. You got to be careful with that stuff that says pride, 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 pride. That is connected to the very first sin. The first problems that entered this world. Pride. And so, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And how does the devil do it? Using scripture. And it's so subtle. Look, if you're a, I don't know how else to put it, but if you're a, let's make it positive. If you're a good person, the devil will tempt you to do something good to get out of God's will. There are some things you're just not tempted to do. But if you have a bent towards doing something good, boy, the devil will push you far. He will drag you, he will tempt you, he'll dangle something out. And remember, the negotiation is always, you're going to have to give up something that God said don't give up. That's the negotiation. And so he'll tempt you to do good. If it's bad, let's just say it's drugs or something, it'll tempt you with that, if that's the hang-up. But every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, something that's in you, and you just hang the bait over them, so they just want that thing, but they got to give up. I got to take a bite of it. I got to open my mouth and bite it. And then the hook. That's temptation. Now the pride of life. You're somebody. Aren't you somebody, Jesus? Aren't you somebody? Don't you live by the Bible? Well, here's a Bible verse. God's going to protect you because you're somebody. That's in Psalms. Spiritual power over pride. The Lord says, no, that's not the way this works. You can't just throw a Bible verse at some promise. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And with that, three areas. The same three areas you and I are tempted in. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. With that, you know what the devil is? He is out of ammunition. I can't get him here, I can't get him here, and I can't get him here. And so the Bible says, he leaves. Jesus Christ goes back into the city, and in the power of the Spirit, verse 13, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And he'll be back. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. This is the power of the Spirit found in the Scriptures. The words of God. Every time Jesus Christ faced a temptation, the answer, the power, the energy, the understanding to do the right thing was found somewhere in the Scriptures. And yeah, the devil quoted Scripture. Jesus Christ used the Scripture properly. And with every temptation, there's a made a way out. There's already a highway to get out of this thing. Jesus Christ quotes Scripture 3 times. Why? Because that's where the Spirit is. That's where the power is. It's in the words of God. Words of God can be misused, but properly used, that's where the Spirit of God is. And so, facing this incredible weakness, Jesus Christ does what no man has ever done before. Tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. What an incredible Savior. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God. And this is how Luke sets it up. And the very next thing, now in the power of the Spirit of God, he's going to go out preaching now. What's he going to preach? Liberation from sin. Freedom from sin. We'll see that next week. Those temptations, and understand this. In Jesus Christ, I briefly mentioned it, but if you're a new Christian, you're going to face some temptations that you never thought you would face, or the intensity of the temptation is going to be so great. And understand that. Understand that's what happens. It is, I don't want to say embrace the battle, but it's like, this is going to happen. It's just going to happen. But it doesn't just happen for young Christians. It happens for old Christians. It happens for older Christians. It happens for everybody. Why? Because you live in this world. And the blueprints for this world are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's the basis for the decisions that are made. But thank God for Jesus Christ, who faced temptation, tempted in all points like us. We are tempted, yet without sin. Amen to that. Amen to that. As Sam comes and plays, it can reflect on this. These things we've read, I'm loving reading about Jesus Christ. I just love it. I love everything he does, everything he says. But there's so much application here. These are the areas of temptation. And understand that. When temptation comes, it means you're going to be offered something. But what you're going to have to give up is something that God said, don't give it up. Don't give that up. That's not on the table to negotiate. Don't give that up. Sam plays a little bit. Let's have some time of reflection.